Hi, my name is Rock, and my beautiful wife is Ro. We are blessed with 10 wonderful grandchildren, and they all call us Rock and Ro. That's cool. Thank you for joining us from Open Door Lake CC. So let me start here. In a world full of confusion and competing voices, today let us discover the life-changing power of the true gospel in this powerful style message from 1 Timothy chapter 1. Learn how to guard your faith, fight the good fight, and rejoice in the abundant mercy of Jesus Christ who came to save sinners. Today, let us be strengthened in grace and truth. So let us get started with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your living word. Thank you that it is truth, that it corrects us, teaches us, strengthens us, and reveals your heart. As we study 1 Timothy today, help us understand it clearly. Protect us from error. Stir our hearts with gratitude for your mercy. And if anyone listening does not yet know you, draw them to salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to set the stage with this historical setting. The Apostle Paul is writing near the end of his ministry. He has traveled the Roman world preaching Christ. He has planted churches across Asia Minor and Europe. He has endured beatings, imprisonment, shipwreck, rejection, and persecution. Now he writes to a young pastor named Timothy. Timothy is serving in Ephesus, one of the most important and spiritually challenging cities of the ancient world. Ephesus was wealthy. It was commercial. It was religiously pluralistic. It was home to the Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. False gods were worshipped openly. Mysticism, superstition, and pagan practices filled the city. And now something dangerous is happening inside the church. False teachers are rising up. They are mixing Jewish law with myths and speculation. They're arguing about genealogies. They're promoting spiritual pride rather than spiritual growth. Paul writes this letter to strengthen Timothy and to protect the church. And brothers and sisters, the message is just as urgent today. Ro, will you please start us by reading 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1-7?
Section 1. The Danger of False Teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1-7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy my true son in the faith, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Timothy charged to oppose false teachers. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm.
Thank you, Ro. Paul begins verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. Notice something. Christ Jesus our hope. Not good works. Not religion. Not moral effort. Jesus is our hope. Paul urges Timothy verse 3. Stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer. This is serious language. False teaching is not a minor issue. It is not a personality preference. It is not just a style difference. False teaching damages souls. Paul mentions in verse 4 myths and endless genealogies. These teachers were fascinated with speculative interpretations of the Old Testament. They were more interested in debate than transformation, more interested in being impressive than being obedient. Verse 5 is the heart of this section. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. That is powerful. The goal of correct doctrine is not intellectual pride. It is love, a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith. If teaching does not produce love for God and love for people, something is wrong. Paul says in verse 6, some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. Brothers and sisters, we must guard against meaningless talk. We live in a time of podcasts, YouTube debates, online controversies, endless speculation about prophecy timelines, and secret codes. But does it produce love? Does it produce holiness? Does it glorify Jesus? Some do. However, if not, it is noise. Section 2. The proper use of the law. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8 to 11.
1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8 to 11. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me.
Paul says in verse 8, we know that the law is good if one uses it properly. The law is good, but must be used correctly. The law was never given to save us. It was given to reveal our sin. Verse 9, we also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels. Paul lists sins, murderers, adulterers, slave traders, liars, perjurers. Why? Because the law exposes wrongdoing. The law is like a mirror. It shows us the dirt on our face. But the mirror cannot wash us. The law points us to our need for grace. And then Paul says something beautiful. Verse 11. That conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. The law exposes sin. The gospel restores sinners. The law says, guilty. The gospel says, forgiven. The law says, you fall short. The gospel says, Christ fulfilled it. Section 3. A testimony of mercy.
1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever.
Now Paul shifts from doctrine to testimony. And this is powerful. Verse 12 to 13. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. Paul never forgot who he used to be. He persecuted Christians. He approved of Stephen's execution. He hunted believers. Paul was actually a terrorist in the American eyes of today, and yet God's word says, but I was shown mercy. That phrase changes everything. Shown mercy. He did not deserve it. He did not earn it. He did not request it. He was shown mercy. Verse 14. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. Not a trickle. Not a small measure. Abundantly. And then, one of the most beautiful gospel summaries in Scripture. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Why did Jesus come? To save sinners. Not to congratulate the righteous. Not to decorate religion. Not to improve good people. To save sinners. And Paul says, I am the worst. Notice he doesn't say, I was. He says, I am. The closer you walk with Christ, the more aware you become of his holiness and your need for grace. Verse 16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example. Paul says, if God can save me, he can save anyone. Brothers and sisters, no one is too far gone. No one is too broken. No one is too sinful. And Paul erupts into worship. Verse 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Doctrine led to testimony. Testimony led to worship. That is healthy Christianity. Section 4, I titled this, Fight the Good Fight. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 18 to 20.
1 Timothy chapter 1, 18 to 20. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme.
Paul turns again to Timothy, verse 18. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command so that you may fight the battle well. The Christian life is not passive. It is a battle, not against people, not against flesh and blood, but for truth, for holiness, for faith. Verse 19, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Two things, right belief, right living. He warns that some have rejected these and have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. H, shipwreck, that is tragic language. They did not drift. They crashed. Brothers and sisters, if we ignore conscience long enough, we damage our faith. Truth matters. Character matters. Paul even names two men who rejected truth. This is sobering. Not everyone who starts well finishes well. That's why we must guard the gospel. Here is our question. What does 1 Timothy 1 teach us today? 1. Guard sound doctrine. 2. Use the law correctly. Let it reveal sin. 3. Rejoice in mercy. 4. Fight the good fight of faith. 5. Keep a clear conscience. But above all, treasure the gospel. Christianity is not about rule keeping. It is about rescue. And now I want to speak to anyone listening who has never personally received Christ. Paul said in verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That includes you. That includes me. The law shows us our sin. Our conscience confirms it, but grace invites us home. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot fix yourself first. You cannot clean up before coming. You come as you are. Jesus died for your sins. He rose again. He offers forgiveness and eternal life. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right now, you can surrender your life to Him. Let us pray right where you are. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for me and rose again. Forgive me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I give you my life. Amen. If you pray that sincerely, you are born again. You are forgiven. You are made new. Welcome to God's family. Let's close with prayer. Father God, we thank you for the gospel. Thank you that you save sinners. Thank you for mercy poured out abundantly. Help us guard truth in our generation. Help us fight the good fight with love and a pure heart. And Lord, for anyone who surrendered to you today, fill them with your Spirit and give them courage to follow you boldly. In Jesus' name, amen. On behalf of Rock and Row and Open Door, Lake CC, have a good week.